This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be. I'll be just so lonely, baby. Well, I'm so lonely. I'll be just so lonely, I could die. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom. I'll be so lonely, baby. I'll be so lonely, they could die. The bellhop's tears keep flowing, the desk clerk's dressed in black. Well, they've been so long on Lonely Street, they'll never, never look back. And think you're so, lonely, baby. Well, they're so lonely, they could die. Well, if you're you've got a tale to tell.
Thank you very much, Elvis Presley. Heartbreak Hotel, remember that? One of his big hits, one of his early big hits. Ah, nostalgia. We do a lot of that on this program, don't we? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy, my partner, Big Ed Davis, who picks out all these great songs you hear. Thank you for joining us. It is Friday, May the 17th, as we roll through the month. We got a lot going on today, boy. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with George Beebe of the Quincy Institute. We're going to talk with George about current talks between the two leaders of Russia and China. They've gotten together, and how the Biden administration strategy is actually driving these two superpowers closer together. Not such a good thing, perhaps. So stay tuned for that in just a few minutes. And a handful of blue states may indeed be in play for Donald Trump this November. That's what the Trump people are saying. We are going to tell you which ones they think they can win. Stay tuned for that. And did you hear about this NFL kicker from the Kansas City Chiefs? He gave a commencement address at his alma mater, a small Catholic college, and that speech has gone viral. It's gone viral. We're going to tell you all about it, so stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, hey, they just came out. The Social Security Administration just came out with the top 10 most popular boys' names for last year. We're going to tell you the list and who they are. Stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, you've got to make a beeline to Dunedin and into the Overcash Plaza for Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is located just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. Great haircut, great ambiance, great price. Everything's great about it. You have to call for your appointment, please. 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service, if you have any kind of a need, whether it's on your private property or it's on commercial property, wherever it is, if it's a tree and it has anything to do with a tree, it's Arbor Life, tree removal, tree enhancement, stump grinding, anything. They got all the equipment you need. They are Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call them for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So let's start out with some good news for people that are on Social Security. Recipients on track to get a cost of living adjustment next year, bigger than previously expected. And why is that? Because inflation continues to mount. As an example, a retired Social Security analyst by the name of Mary Johnson has estimated that this adjustment could be about 3.2%, and that's based on the latest inflation data. It shows that the consumer price index has been climbing, and the annual Social Security change calculated based on the consumer price index. So we'll see what happens. It's not going to be as high as the last bump, which was 8.7%, but 3.2% for next year It'll help a little bit, won't it? Of course, it's running out of money, right? For those of you that are not yet on... You're not on Social Security, right, Ed? Do you think it's going to be around long enough for you? Lots of people
are... have to make some changes for it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it needs to be some major changes. But anyway, that's the news on Social Security. How about the Donald Trump news? You know, it's funny. Donald Trump gets more publicity when they try to stifle him. He's getting more publicity, I think, now than he would normally, if you think about it. If he's not in court, he's attending his son's graduation today. Then he's going to go up to Minnesota. Trump is attending Barron Trump's high school graduation today in a break from his criminal trial. Normally, he'd be stuck in that court in New York, but the judge relented and allowed him to attend Barron's high school graduation. Barron is graduating from Oxbridge Academy. It's in West Palm Beach. It's a private ceremony. He's going to go on to college. It's unclear where he may go. Apparently, one of the choices, Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. That's where his dad went. And that's where Ivanka Trump, Donald Trump Jr., and Tiffany Trump also went. Now, Trump's been pushing for several weeks for the judge to allow him to go to the graduation. And at first, the judge was leaving it untouched. But I think the pressure finally got to him and decided that he would allow Trump to attend. In the meantime, if you have been watching that trial that's been going on, Michael Cohen, Trump's former attorney, has apparently completely lost any credibility that, if he had any when he took the stand, has gone. Even CNN and MSNBC are saying that Cohen's performance on the witness stand was horrible for the prosecution, just horrible. They caught him in several lies. He's been lying from, I don't know, for how long anyway. He's basically, you know, been accused of being a perjurer. So I just wonder what the jury thinks of this guy. But anyway, Cohen spent nearly 6 hours over a two-day span being cross-examined. He's going to be back on the stand again Monday when the trial resumes. Cohen answered numerous questions yesterday related to his time working with Trump, including whether he had hoped to secure a role at the White House. He was hoping he'd get a job at the White House. He even was hoping he might be considered for attorney general. God spare us.
So it looks like sour grapes to me.
I think there was some sour grapes. He was very disappointed that he wasn't even invited to have any kind of a position there. Cohen said he took some credit, by the way, for the indictment against Trump, who he once admitted to being referring to. Let's see. He took credit for the indictment waged against Trump, who he once admitted to referring to as dumb as Donald. So he's been on a rant against Donald Trump for some time. Defense attorney focused greatly on Cohen's history of lying under oath, including to a federal judge. The attorney highlighted several instances where Cohen lied under oath, including to Congress about a Trump Tower Moscow project, and federal investigators from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's office. Anyway, there you go.
Yeah, I wonder how he answered some of those questions. Like, I advised Donald Trump to do illegal things, so I think he should go to jail.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They've got a guy that is just, and they're gonna continue to talk with him on Monday. The defense is not through with Cohen, but apparently they're catching him in all kinds of, let's say, tall tales. not working well for the prosecution right now. That is for sure. Okay, we are going to take our break. When we come back, George Beebe of the Quincy Institute will be with us. We are going to talk about the current discussions going on between Vladimir Putin and Xi, the leader of China, together, and how the Biden administration might be driving these two superpowers even closer together. Sugar pie, honey buns, you know that I love you.
I can't help myself. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works. It's Friday. A little rainy out here. We need the rain down here in Tampa Bay, so we're happy about it. At least I am. Hey, we're delighted to welcome back an old buddy of ours, George Beebe. He is the Director of Grand Strategy at the Quincy Institute. He was also the former Director of Russia Analysis for the CIA and a former advisor to Vice President Dick Cheney on Russia, and that's what we're going to talk about. This meeting that started yesterday, I guess it's going to go on for a couple of days, between President Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping, the president of China. George, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thank you very much.
It's our pleasure to have you. And you are not alone in your feeling that this meeting and this bonding, you might say, between these two might have been enhanced a little bit by the Biden administration. Could you tell us a little bit about why you feel that way?
Well, yeah. I think, you know, if you read the mainstream media, they want you to believe that these are just two dictators that are getting together and cooperating with each other because they're dictators. That's what dictators do. And there's really nothing that the United States can do about this other than fight back. And in fact, that's not what has happened throughout the history of the Russia-China relationship. Most of that period of time, going back centuries, they've been in conflict with one another. The Soviet Union and Communist China actually went to war in the late 1960s with each other. And, you know, early on in the Cold War, the United States recognized we had an opportunity to divide and conquer, to split them apart and take advantage of that history of conflict and animosity and use that to our advantage. That's not how we're dealing with things right now. We're in fact doing things that incentivize them to cooperate with each other in areas that they wouldn't ordinarily do. I mean, they normally have a good trade relationship, but they're now cooperating in the militarization of space and strategic nuclear defense issues, naval issues, things that are aimed at us. And the reason is because we've decided we wanted a hostile relationship with both of them at the same time, and that makes no strategic sense.
Yeah. Of course, we've got the Ukraine war going on, and it's tough not to want to back Ukraine. We have indeed been helping finance them. Biden announced tariffs, new tariffs on China, especially with these, I guess, computer chips, claiming that, you know, we can make better products than they can, and therefore, you know, we got to enhance our capabilities here. Do you think if, and nobody knows for sure, but do you think if Donald Trump had been reelected instead of Biden, do you think that Putin and Xi would be as close as they seem to be right now?
Well, that's, you know, very hard to speculate, but I would say that Donald Trump was not inclined to refuse to talk to Putin about whether Ukraine was going to be in NATO or not. I think that was an area where Trump felt that it was not in the American interest to assume an obligation to defend Ukraine militarily. And that's really at the heart of this conflict, the heart of this war that's been going on for quite some time over Ukraine. And, you know, whether he would have succeeded in finding some sort of an arrangement that everybody could live with or not, you can only speculate about. But I think there's no question that that's what Trump was inclined to try to do.
Indeed. Go ahead.
You know, as far as China goes, I think, you know, Trump envisioned the relationship as one where China had taken unfair advantage of American markets and taken manufacturing jobs that Trump believed should have been in the United States and brought them to China, and he wanted to do something about that. And that's, you know, I think a very natural impulse. Want to do something about that. That's a critically important issue. But I don't think Trump wanted to see the relationship with China deteriorate into some sort of military confrontation.
Right.
That's not good for anybody. Now, you know, again, how do you manage all these things so it doesn't spin out of control? You know, you can only speculate how that would have gone. But I think his instincts in these areas were good.
Yeah, and it seems... just, you know, recalling how busy Donald Trump was visiting foreign people, foreign dignitaries all over the place. And Biden is not about visiting anybody. I mean, he's just, you know, we're going to send our Secretary of State over once in a while. But Biden himself, you know, he wants to maybe get on the phone and talk for a few minutes. And I can just imagine how well those talks would go. They're not going to get very far on those things. Trump would be willing to talk with Putin directly, face-to-face, and Xi, and he did so. And it would seem to me that, you know, the more you talk with your enemies, the better things are going to be. And Biden's got a hands-off policy, it seems to me. And it's not really, and perhaps this is one of the reasons why Russia and China feel a little bit more comfortable about getting together. Your thought on all of that?
Well, I think there's no question that when you're dealing with adversary nations, you're going to have to use a combination of carrots and sticks. Yes, you need to be strong militarily. You need to have a strong, resilient domestic political situation so you can deal with other countries from a position of confidence. But you also have to be willing to talk, and you have to be confident enough in yourself to engage with your adversaries, to manage those situations diplomatically as well as with the tools of coercion, you know, when you need them. And I think our diplomacy in the world has veered very sharply in the direction of coercion only. We're going to isolate these countries or attempt to strong arm them into doing things that we insist that they do without of being willing to discuss areas where we might be able to reach some understandings that are, you know, mutually acceptable. That's a part of this that we've allowed to atrophy, and that's something I think we're going to have to rebuild.
Yeah. So Russia is delighted to sell energy to China. China desperately needs the energy, and that's one of the things that seems to keep these two together. The whole process of Biden's cutting back, I guess you would say, on our development of energy in our country means that we have been having to depend on other countries as well. Do you think that Biden's energy policies in some way are also affecting this relationship between China and Russia, maybe keeping them closer together?
Oh, I think there's no question about that. I think, you know, the Russians were making more money selling oil and gas to the West than they have been selling it to China. But why is that? Because when you have more customers and you're not just dependent on one, then you have a better bargaining position. And because the Russians have lost markets in the West, they've become very dependent on China, as well as on sales to India. And those countries can get that energy at a pretty good discount as a result, because, you know, they're the only buyers in town for the Russians. So the Russians have to sell to them, but would they want to be as dependent as they are on the Chinese? No. I think they would rather have a diversity of customers that gives them more leverage, and they make more money that way. So I think, you know, by refusing any energy relationship with Russia from the West, we have in fact forced the Russians to be dependent on the East for their sales. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that's not to our strategic advantage, I don't believe.
We're talking with George Beebe. He is the director of Grand Strategy at the Quincy Institute, former director of Russia Analysis for the Central Intelligence Agency. And George, in that capacity, you know a lot about what's going on inside of Russia, more so than most of us. It does not seem that the Ukraine war is going very well, if you're rooting for Ukraine. And yet we continue to supply Ukraine with both weaponry and, I guess, with dollars. I wanted your quick analysis. Is this Ukraine war going to be ending soon? I mean, are we getting anywhere one way or the other? Is Russia pretty much having its way? What's your analysis there?
Well, the war is going Russia's way right now. They've turned this into a war of attrition that takes advantage of their vastly greater population and greater military manufacturing capability. And they're simply exhausting Ukraine's supplies of manpower, and they're outproducing what the United States and Europe combined can provide to the Ukrainians. So over time, Ukraine is simply going to collapse. Now, when will that happen? That's very hard to say.
Yeah.
6 months, a year or so, you know, nobody can say for sure.
Donald Trump boasts that if he becomes president again, he's going to go over there and somehow figure out a way to stop that war. Should we believe him?
Well, I think he's got a major advantage over Biden in that he's actually willing to talk to Putin and the Russians about a deal. And you're not going to get a deal if you're not willing to talk. So that is a critical prerequisite for success.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. The idea that we would actually have discussions. This is what scares me about our foreign policy right now. It seems like Biden is just, he's taken his foot off the gas pedal or whatever it is. He's not involved. He's just sort of floating around Washington. And it's like he's almost out of touch with, you know, what's going on worldwide. This is, to me, what seems so very scary. George, it's always a pleasure to have you. You know a great deal about what is going on these days. I thank you for taking the time to come on, and I look forward to our next discussion.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
All right. George Beebe of the Quincy Institute. All righty, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, a handful of blue states, Democratic states, may be in play for Donald Trump, believe it or not, this November. We're going to tell you which ones they are. Oh!
there she stood in the street, smiling.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite hair cutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of hair cutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
All the gold in California is in a bank.
Oh yeah, good old California and all its gold. Hey, we're back. And this is good news for Donald Trump advocates. It's been more than half a century since a Republican won Minnesota in a presidential election. But Donald Trump says he's got a really good shot at breaking the losing streak up there. And in fact, he's going to be heading, I guess, after, I would guess after Barron's graduation ceremonies, he is going to be heading up to Minnesota to headline the annual Lincoln-Reagan fundraising dinner in Minnesota. Now, Trump lost Minnesota by just 1.5 points in 2016 when he beat Hillary Clinton. But 4 years later, he lost Minnesota by more than 7 points to Joe Biden. But now Trump and his campaign thinks they have a shot. Another blue state they think they have a shot in is Virginia. And boy, if they were able to take Minnesota and Virginia and hold on to some of those crucial states like Michigan and possibly Pennsylvania, and it looks like he's up big time in Nevada right now, and it looks like he can win Arizona. If those things occur, I think Trump is our next president. But initial surveys by the Trump people suggest that both Minnesota and Virginia are clearly in play. So, good news for the Donald, it sounds like. Hey, we're delighted to have the master barber himself, Andrew Ceresi, joining us. Andrew, what are your thoughts on Donald Trump's got a busy day. He's going to be at the graduation of Barron Trump, his son. Then he's going to have to fly up to Minnesota. Then he's got to come back for Monday so he can sit there in a cold trial room in Manhattan and listen to Cohen, his former attorney, who's going to be back on the witness stand. What are your thoughts?
Well, Paul, I think Trump ought to take over the whole country with everything that's going on, number one. Okay, that's one thing. Did you see yesterday that Biden put an executive order to stop his interview?
Yes.
With his
he doesn't want the tape coming out when he was being interviewed about his holding on to all of those papers, those classified documents.
That's apparently amazing.
Go
he
ahead.
Can use his executive orders, huh? But Trump doesn't have immunity for doing that stuff. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, absolutely amazing. It's amazing that they would just let the guy go because he's an old doddering fool, instead of saying, well, you know, you've been holding on to some of these classified documents since you were a senator.
Isn't that something enough? You know what else is amazing me? Now, they're saying that that the rally in New Jersey the other was way over-exaggerated.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, I heard now they're trying to say there was 20,000 people there.
Oh, no. Well, I saw the pictures. There's no way there were.
Okay, it amazes me. I was surprised Jesse Waters even brought that up.
On Fox?
Yeah.
No kidding.
It surprised me. I think he's getting a little money under the table now.
Look, even if it was 20,000, that would be 19,980 more people than... Then Biden would have at his rally.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, let me tell you a little story that just happened to me.
Certainly.
I was at Home Depot maybe a half hour ago, and I ran into an old Jewish customer of mine that stopped coming to me when I promoted Trump years ago.
Oh, really?
And he looked, Andrew, how you doing? I'm doing fine. How are you? That's good. And he started complaining to me about the prices of everything. And I said, you know, I don't understand why that happened. I'm trying to figure it out in my head, but I just can't understand this. Inflation is really amazing, you know? And he was talking. You could tell he knew what I was getting at.
Yeah, you were baiting him. Go ahead.
Okay, and then I sat there and I said, you know, it's really amazing. He might have thought I forgot he was Jewish, but I didn't. Uh-huh. And I said, you know, what's really amazing to me today is I remember people saying never again. Never again. I said, I can't understand. I said, it's terrible what the poor Jewish people are going through in this country today, you know, and I can't understand why this is happening. They should have seen the look on this guy's face.
Yeah.
I wish I had a camera.
So what is his feeling now on Donald Trump and
Biden? He was embarrassed to say anything to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, it just tickled me pink. It really did, because here's a guy that he's a heavy-duty Democrat. He hated when I talked about Trump.
Did he give you any? Yeah, go ahead.
And yeah, you could tell. I knew what he was thinking, but I just said, well, you have a good day, my friend, and it's great seeing you
again. What else can you do? Right.
Yep.
You know, it just seems to me, and I've got some Jewish friends, so I'm very interested, you know, in what they think. And like you and I have chatted about before, they have been entrenched in the Democratic Party for generations, and yet it's been the Republicans and conservatives that have been more, what would you say, more defending Israel and its right to exist than Democrats ever have. And now it's even more obvious, it seems to me. Go ahead.
It's like I said, the American Jews are totally different than the Israeli Jews.
But you would think that they would pick up on that.
Oh, well, of course you would think it. However. You know, is all I can say.
Okay.
All I can say to that one. What do you think about the nuns going after the kicker there from the Kansas City?
Well, as a matter of fact,
did you hear that one?
Yes, I did. I've got the story right in front of me. In fact, I could bring it up now. this was something else. The guy's name is Harrison Butker. He gave a commencement speech at Benedictine College, where he graduated. He's the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. And he gave a faith-based speech earlier this week. It's become a viral thing. It's been very controversial. In his speech, he went after Biden while adding, quote, things like abortion, IVF, surrogacy, euthanasia, as well as a growing support for the degenerate cultural values and media, all stem from pervasiveness of disorder. He later urged women to embrace the title of homemaker. And it turned out that most people really love, I don't know about most people, that I don't know. Mm. But many people are absolutely behind what he had to say. And sales of his jersey, by the way, are really running off the shelf. He's picked up quite a following. Among those that praised him, by the way, is Lou Holtz, legendary college football coach. Remember him? Arkansas, Notre Dame.
Didn't he say some degrading thing about women, about they belong in the home?
Yeah, you know, he's got, well, he didn't say exactly that, but let me see if I can find it. He did say something about, he said, a directive to embrace our vocations over mere cultural expectations. guiding young minds towards paths of purpose and integrity. Let's see. He did talk about how a woman, you know, feels complete, I think, as a mother. And in a way, he didn't say you can't go. He didn't put down women for having a professional job. I know that he didn't do that.
Well, we're all entitled to our opinions, but when you get up in front of a group of people, and I don't know how he was introduced, mm-hmm. how he's introduced as just Mr. Butker or Kansas City Chief Punter. Once you do that, then you're in trouble.
Yes.
But this is, once again, another case for athletes. Play the game, shut your mouth.
Yeah.
Actors, do your acting, shut your mouth.
I would only suggest, though, that he was asked to speak at his college, which is a Catholic college. He was asked to give a commencement. And what are you going to talk about? Are you going to talk about kicking the football?
But do you think that when he came...
During that, he's going to have to bring up the Christian values that are part of, you know, that school that he's going to. I totally understand his wanting to talk about it. I think this is a venue for him to say this.
Okay, but do you think it's a little, maybe not crossing the line, but maybe riding the line?
He might be.
Okay.
That's
well,
all right.
Wouldn't you think that maybe he would ask somebody's opinion of his speech?
He might have already
done
that.
Okay, because if I want to say something on a program and I'm thinking, well, it might be crossing the line, I would discuss it first before saying it.
Okay, but
I
think commencement speech, I think you're in a bubble when you're doing a commencement speech. You are allowed to give your philosophy on things. He's giving his philosophy on life. He has that right. He was invited. I would think that the people that invited him were aware of his values. He's worn his Christianity on his sleeve a little bit.
Okay, but his opinion is his opinion.
Yeah, it's his opinion.
It's his opinion.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
You know what? Listen, you two men are sitting there arguing back and forth of opinions of this and that. I can tell you right now, my wife loves the guy's opinion. She loves being a housewife. She says, Andrew, you go to work. I'm taking care of the house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's one of the happiest women in the world being a housewife.
But there are women.
And you know what else today? The men are afraid to go out and work. So the women are afraid they're going to be stuck taking care of everything themselves anyway. That's why they do what they do.
I think some men are too lazy to go out there and work. Tell you
that's
the truth.
What I'm saying. No. They sit home. I got neighbors, three boys. Laziest things I've ever seen in my life. I don't understand it. I mean, since I was a kid, I was up at 5:30 in the morning going out trying to hustle a buck.
Yeah. I just think when you give a commencement speech, and look at all these politicians that get up in front of these colleges and do commencement speeches, and you know they're throwing their political philosophy out across the students that they're talking to. They do it all the time. I think he has a right to do this. Yes, he will be criticized. In fact, I read, I think it was CNN, had a very negative report.
Well, that's CNN there. Okay.
Of course they do. But you know what? During a commencement speech, you're going to end up talking about morals. You just can't evade it and give a decent, in my opinion, give a decent commencement speech.
Well, like I said, I haven't seen the whole thing.
Yeah, and I haven't either.
I've seen bits and pieces.
Correct. Me too.
So I can't make a full judgment. And I may look at the whole thing and say, what's wrong with it?
Yeah, you know, he might be over the top. You may be exactly right. He might be over the top.
But that's his
opinion. He certainly offended some people. It's his opinion.
But that's his opinion. And if you're going to stand there and criticize him for something like that. But you've got people on the streets that are burning our flags and threatening to kill Jews and nothing's happening. Where are those people? Where are those people that are offended by what he said to a woman, but it's okay for Jewish people to be chastised and harassed on the street and be told to die?
Yeah, our priorities are out of whack.
You're right on the money. You're right on the money.
Our priorities are totally out of whack.
Priorities in this country are backwards, my friend. Like I tell everybody. Today, if I was a preacher and I got in front of in the pulpit and I started reading the Ten Commandments, in our country today, you got to reverse every one of them. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt rip you off blind. Honor thy mother and father. forget about it.
Yeah. Thou shalt, and if it's in California,
everyone is reversed.
If it's in California, it should be thou shalt not steal anything over $999.
There you go. We got to change that one.
It's a venial sin if it's under $1,000. It's a venial sin. It's a moral sin if it's over $1,000.
And the other one is thou shalt not steal because it's called reparations.
You got it right. I'll tell you what, the money.
You know, do you think with all of the things that we're that are going on these days, with all these different issues, you know, the transgender situation, all of it. I mean, do you think we'll be able to somehow, by talking about all these things the way we are doing, somehow get things back into some sort of normal, what would you call it, normal order of life? I mean, are we going to be forever going down roads of strangeness or whatever you want to call it?
No kidding. Let me tell you. Did you see where they're not lighting up the Skyway Bridge in rainbow colors for Gay Pride Month? Now, they're lighting them all up in red, white, and blue. There's nothing wrong with that, but I guarantee you these people are going to be in the streets because they're offended.
Exactly.
They wouldn't light up the bridge. Well, what is that? You people crazy?
No,
I don't blame those people on the Pride for being upset because I called them and I said, on January 27th, it is my birthday, and I would like it lit up blue and white. And they just hung up on me. Yeah. Like, who are you? You know?
Crazy.
It's amazing. Yeah. Man, I'm so happy they did that. It tickles me pink.
Everything should
be lit up red, white, and blue.
We need to get back to the old saying is, life is tough. Grab a helmet.
Yeah.
There you go.
If you don't like what you hear on TV, turn the channel.
It just comes.
You don't even have to get up to change your channel anymore.
You know, this, and we get away from it on our show from time to time, but, we portend on our program to be a libertarian program. A libertarian philosophy, my rights ending where your nose begins. So if you want to dress you're a man that wants to dress up like a woman, as long as you're not hurting anybody, you can do it.
And I agree 100%.
And I know you do, and I know Ed does as well. We all agree on that. It's when our values cross a line and force somebody else to have to consider changing their values. And it's very hard for us to be able to accept each other's values without wanting to impose our values on them. And there's where that's where the problem starts.
Or if I don't celebrate what they're doing, then I'm a phobic.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I don't see you giving me a birthday cake.
Yeah, you have to. It's like forcing a transgender swimmer into a woman's swimming pool to swim laps. Okay, but maybe you're offending and you're crossing the you're forcing them to accept your values that way. This is where we start having all of these issues, right?
Paul, they have to use some common sense in what they're doing. Listen, the gay people, I have gay friends. It doesn't man wants to sleep with a man. When I was younger, I thought that was great because I said there's more women for me. You know what I mean? It was less I had to share.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great. But when you have to have a big parade in a month and you got men running around in fairy wings and bikini panties, there's something wrong. You're not using common sense.
Mm-hmm. The thing is,
you agree that you would allow them to run around as long as they're not, crossing a line when it comes to your family or this, that, and the other thing, right?
That's
in other
right.
words, they can dress up in fairy wings if...
And they can hang from their ceiling fan in their fairy wings and bikini panties.
Okay.
I could care less.
There you go.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's that hamburger place they had on 19, Hamburger Mary's, whatever it was?
I had friends
that go, that invited me to go, and I said, no. Why not?
That's right.
Because it's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like asking me to go to a sushi bar. I don't eat sushi.
Right.
You going to hold that against me because I don't eat raw fish? I call that bait.
That's right. It's to each his own. Just don't try to force your things on anybody except to vote for Trump.
You keep
other than that, forget about it.
Yeah. See, Andrew, you keep bringing up common sense. The problem is common sense isn't common anymore.
Yeah,
that's right. It's gone.
You know, and it gets back to this. I think this is always the general rule. If you treat everybody as an individual, if you just look at them and you don't worry about any of these issues, and you just you can get along with that person. You are willing to accept that person, be he gay or straight or whatever he is, because you've now looked at him as an or her as an individual, and you're just you're taking them in as that. As that person. We get away from that.
I look at it
we want to group people.
Yeah, it's their religion. I don't not hang out with Catholics. That's their religion. I don't care what their religion is.
Of course.
I don't care what their sexuality is.
That's right.
But I have friends that are gay, but they don't dare ask me to go to Gay Pride Month and then hold it against me.
No, they shouldn't.
No, they don't. They know, because it's my opinion. It's
right.
What I choose to do with my time.
That's it.
But don't call me a phobic, because I'm sort of phobic, because I won't go.
No.
I'm a Biden phobic.
Yeah. Hey, it's always a pleasure to have you on, my friend. Thank you so very much for calling in. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and I know we'll be talking next week, Andrew.
You got it, buddy. You guys have a good weekend.
All right. The same to
you. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, the top 10 most popular boys' names in 2023.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back to the final segment of Freedom Works. We thank you so very much for being with us. We are here, by the way, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern on the great Tantalk Radio Network. Always happy when you can listen live, but if you cannot, thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website anytime and listen to our shows anytime. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com. That's O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top. Ed's got all the shows, and away you go. Ed, before we get to our top 10, I notice a golfer, and I don't know a lot about golf, but this guy's name is Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah.
And he's been playing in the PGA tournament in Louisville, Kentucky. He got into a little bit of trouble with the cops on the way over to the Valhalla golf course.
The thing is, and more reports are coming out on this, it's not as cut and dry as once were reported. Scheffler has been winning lately and winning a lot of majors. But if I tripped over, and I wouldn't know who he was, and that's how most people are. Evidently, there was a fatal accident involving a couple of cars in a van or something like that right in front of the golf course. And he was in his golf cart, and they had closed the road off, and he kind of drove around the barricade of some sort. And they stopped him, and then it was kind of, do you know who I am, kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And they asked him, and then the words went back and forth. And as you see on the screen, they cuffed him, and
oh, God.
And thank God he's a white guy, because this would be all over the news if he wasn't.
Yes. You know. So is he going to be able to play today, do you know?
Yeah, he's playing right now.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he's been released.
Okay.
You know, and he's
all right.
He's back on it. So.
Well, then we won't worry about it.
Well, okay. He was held his stroke back because of it.
Oh, okay. Well, Scotty, for some reason, I don't feel too sorry for you. You're making lots of money playing golf. That's a pretty good deal in your life. All right, Ed, time for our top 10. These are the top 10 most popular names for boys. The Social Security Administration just announced what the most popular names for boys were in all of 2023. So here we go. Number 10, William. Now, that's been a name that's been around as a popular name forever. William's been around, yeah. You know.
Down here we call him Billy.
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 That's right. Number 9, Lucas. Lucas. Do you like that name? Mm-hmm. Okay. Number 8, Henry. Henry. Hank.
Hank, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Number 7, this is a name, for some reason, I don't know why I don't like it, but I don't. It's Theodore. I think Ted's good, and I had a friend named Ted, but Theodore.
Well, yeah, when you go
such a formal sounding
when
name.
When you're in school, you're not Theodore.
And Theodore.
You're Ted.
Stop talking in class, Theodore, and start working on your paper.
You get that substitute teacher that comes in and goes, Theodore, and everybody looks around.
Yeah, right, they laugh.
Is that Teddy?
That's right. Number 6. I'll bet you wouldn't have thought this was in here, Ed. Mateo.
Mateo.
Mateo. M-A-T-E-O. That's the only new name from the 2022 list.
Wow.
These are all virtually the same names from the year before. Number 5. Elijah.
Well,
what
a biblical name.
Yeah, great biblical name.
Noah's going to be in there. Well, go ahead.
How? What's a nickname for Elijah? Ellie?
Eli.
Oh, Eli. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Eli. Why didn't I think of that? Do you like that name?
Yeah.
Okay. Number 4. Hey, this is another one that's been around forever. James. I always get out. The first thing I think of is a king.
Mm-hmm.
James. There's more kings than were named
King James.
King James, yeah. Number 3. This is one I'm glad I wasn't named, but there are lots of kids that are. It's Oliver.
Ollie. Yeah.
You know why? Because I remember the comedian, Stan Laurel, and Oliver Hardy, and Ollie was, you know, the rotund comedian, who I loved, but I just didn't want to be called Oliver. Number 2. And by the way, this has been number 2 for 5 straight years on the boys' list. Noah.
Yeah, I just said Noah's going to be there.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
How did you know?
Because
do you remember?
It's a biblical name.
Yes, it
you
is.
You know, and it's probably one of the highest ones.
Yes, it is. You're right, absolutely. All right, Ed, if you've been watching the news and reading it, you'll probably know what this is. It's the most popular name for the 7th straight year.
Latavius.
You're close. No, you're close.
Really?
Yeah, it starts with an L.
Okay.
Liam.
Liam.
I think of the actor Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson. But it's the most popular boy's name for the 7th straight year. How's that for him? And it's a short name. It's easy to write and pronounce. Okay. Well, thank you so very much for being with us, everybody. We hope you have a safe and a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.